Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our brother Dan Fitzgerald. Morning.
Morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, I know there's not a lot of people to come up for Christmas, so that's why I booked myself. No preachers have to come across town. They can be with their families. Watched the devil work this week. I almost had my sister here for the first time since 1969, or 70, I think the last time she was here. She almost came, but he's a powerful one we're wrestling with. And once again, he tripped her up. So, continue to pray for Barb Wyan. She's going through some difficult times right now, as I think the Lord is starting to deal with her. You know, they say Jesus is the reason for the season, and which is true, you know. But today I want to look at three reasons for the season. Three reasons Jesus is the reason for the season. Three reasons. You don't have to turn to these passages. We're going to read a lot of passages today, so you don't got to turn to them. I'll read. You can listen. But if you like to turn your Bible flipper, feel free to flip. Our first opening text will be 1 John 3:8. Three reasons for this season. 1 John 3:8. John writes, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." John says that the devil sinneth from the beginning. Our question is, when was the beginning? When was the beginning he's talking about here? Now, we got to go outside of our little thinking caps here. But God gives one of his prophets, Isaiah, a revelation, and he pens this down. That's in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, and I'll start reading in verse 12. Talking about the devil sinneth from the beginning. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" God gives another revelation to another one of his prophets, and he pens down things back in the beginning. And that's found in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And that starts in verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, take up thy lamentations for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, you were the zeal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emeralds with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." So we see that this is the beginning, that when sin entered creation and tainted God's perfect creation, this created angel Lucifer is the father of sin. And this is the beginning John is talking about here. The next thing we see is that the Son of Man was manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Well, there are many, but they all originate off these principles here. Force, greed, selfish ambitions, and sinful pleasures. John states, he who sins is of the devil. So when we follow these principles of his system, like force, we have a tendency to want to force our way in every situation we're in. Those are things we don't want to do. We use a little manipulations and attitudes or whatever it is. But we don't want to do that to get what we want. Greed is another one he uses. This is like the love of money or material things that the devil uses to satisfy our little desires. But they will only satisfy them for a short time. Selfish ambitions. This is another one he uses. This is thinking about ourself, our attitudes. Drawing attention to ourself is a sinful thing to do. You can't do those things. We can be very selfish people. These are the things he uses. And sinful pleasures. These are not always bad pleasures, like drugs, drinking, adultery. But they can be innocent pleasures too, like hobbies, sports. Whatever it is that takes away time spent with God can be a sinful pleasure. These are the things that he uses. And the Bible says the man that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. And these are the foundations of his system. The Bible says that people walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So we see that the Lord was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, where he said, I will be like God. A little side note here, notice he says, I will be like God. He can't even think of anything higher than God. There is nothing higher than God, but he says he will be like God. I just gave you that one on the side. He conned angels into following him in his rebellion. He got his angels as God has, but we see another problem he has for the devil. God created man and woman to worship and to govern his creation. He created man in his own image, an eternal being. When God breathed into man, Adam, he became an eternal being. Without sin, as God is, you are made in the likeness of Adam, and so am I. He was made in the image of God. So Adam was made without sin, but with a free will. As were the angels, as we saw in Lucifer, when he said, I will be like God. All God's creations, man, angels, have free wills, as we did see in Lucifer. So God, the devil had his angels now, but God had created man and woman to worship him and to govern over his creation. Now the devil had a problem, because the devil needed worshipers. And he cannot create anything. He had a dilemma. Now, Adam is serving the Lord his God with his helpmate Eve in a sinless earth as a sinless man. And where in the world am I? As a sinless man, I am lost again. Okay. Oh, to worship him, he created him. And okay, where was it? Okay. Oh boy. Okay, so let's pick up the story now in Genesis 3. Genesis 3. He's serving the Lord his God with his helpmate Eve as a sinless man in a sinless world. And here comes the devil in the form of a serpent. And we'll pick up that story in Genesis 3. And I'll start reading in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor you shall not touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, so she took of the fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then their eyes were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I've commanded you that you should not eat of? Then the man said, The woman whom you gave to me, she gave it me. The woman who you gave me of the tree, I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and between her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. So we see that Adam and Eve sinned, and sin entered the world, and the wages of God said of sin is death, both physical and spiritual. Adam and Eve fell for the works of the devil. Now the devil had his angels, and now the devil has taken control over the earth by the fall of man. The devil had become the god of this world. Man in a hopeless state, separated from his holy God by that ugly thing called sin, is now called a sinner, an enemy of God. Which brings us to the second reason for the season. And it's in Matthew 1:21. And the angel said unto Mary, You shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, the master plan of the supernatural God. Isn't that the kind of God you want? One that can do anything? There's a supernatural thing here. God becomes a man, dwells among men, and shows the world that he is God by the miracles. He turns water into wine. He feeds 5,000 with a couple fish, a few loaves of bread. He gives sight to the blind, and he raises the dead. But they reject him, and they cry out, Away with him. We will not let him reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. There he was nailed to a wooden altar, and he became God's sacrifice for the sins of the world, and for the sins of you, and for the sins of me. Having died on that cross, he became the wage for sin, and tasted death for every man and woman. And they buried him. The wages of sin is death. There was no sin in Jesus. Therefore, the grave could not hold him. And he rose from that grave. And it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus loved you enough, came here to die for you. And when he rose from that grave, he destroyed the works of the devil, but it also has provided eternal life for everyone who believes in him for the free gift. Would you like to receive the greatest Christmas gift of all? Well, Jesus bought it for you, and he paid for it with his own blood. And I urge you to trust him today if you haven't. So we saw that the devil was the founder of sin, and that he had tainted heaven with sin. He had persuaded some angels to help him with his rebellion. He had corrupted man and woman with his deception. Man has become a child of disobedience and has fallen into the fear of bondage and sin and death. But God came in a supernatural way through the woman, died on a cross, destroyed the works of the devil, and restored life unto man, not only spiritual, but eternal life. The Bible says, though, that in the end, the devil will enter a man, and this will be his last and final attempt to be God. He will sit on a throne in the temple, showing himself he is God. He will run his corrupt government by forcing every man, every woman, and every child to receive a mark on their hand or on their forehead. Which brings us to the third reason for the season. And that's found in probably the most famous Christmas passage of all, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah gives this marvelous revelation that the Savior would be a human. Unto us a son is given. The Savior of the world would be divine. He would be the God-man. The government shall be upon his shoulders. There will be a theocracy there, a God-ruled government. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, not a swear word. It will no longer be a swear word as some men use it. These will be the names of him. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. As the devil's government is made up of corruption, greed, lies ran by the children of disobedience, the Lord will put an end to it with peace and a government of truth ran by born-again Christians who have the gift of eternal life and who have been made in the likeness of Christ without sin and never to be deceived and no chance of this government ever coming to an end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it. You know, he will sit on the throne of David one day in Jerusalem. It's interesting, my wife and I were there once and I actually thought about that. He's going to physically be there one day, sitting there to order his kingdom and to establish it. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. As Bruce said, all the nations will gather to him as a small picture. But they will confess that Jesus is Lord in his government one day. And those of us who have trusted him will be with him and we will help him in his kingdom. And his wonderful scripture will be fulfilled, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A God-ruled theocracy. And what a glorious day that will be. Summarize it. He came, reason number one, to destroy the works of the devil. The second reason he became a man to die for the sin of man and to offer man eternal life. By doing that, he destroyed the works of the devil. And reason number three, to take the kingdom back from the devil that Adam had lost control of when he wanted to be God also. But he will one day give it to us. And that wonderful scripture will be fulfilled as our Lord said, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as that many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. From a child of the devil as we were, to a child of God. What a wonderful Lord we have. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, truly Jesus is the reason for the season when we think of it. Let's just close. Father, we do thank you for your word, that it is settled in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your prophets that you allowed to give revelation, that we know that prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for coming to destroy the works of the devil. We know that he is active in our lives today and our world, and we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, we thank you for dying for us and giving us eternal life. And we look to a place one day where we can be with you. A government ran, and we will be part of it. We'll be made in the likeness of you with no sin and never be able to be deceived. We look forward to that day when we will not have to wrestle with him no more, or this ugly flesh we have, this sinful nature. We ask for blessing on those today who are struggling with their decision for Christ. We know suicide is up on this day, and they're wrestling against this war here, one God versus the other. We know greater is he that is in you, he that is in the world. We pray for souls today and churches today that give out the word of God, that people can come to you today. They'll realize, like through this little simple message, that there is a conflict from the ages. And it is real. It is not a story. So we ask for blessings on us. Help us to realize what's really going on here. And there's a battle for our souls. There's a battle for people to want to be God. Man, the devil, but we know you are the God. Bless us now as we depart. We thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Apologize for getting lost there. Sometimes it happens.
We're going to close with one last hymn with the early time. 324. Let me see here. Yeah.